How long is a day in creation in Genesis chapter 21 in the creation story, and does it really matter if it is a literal 24-hour day or not?
Scripture is not discerned by opinion. You cannot rightly apply the Bible until you first rightly divide the Bible. We do not get to decide what the Bible means. We get to discover what the Bible means.
So this morning I'm going to ask the first question we're going to be working with is out of Genesis chapter 1. So you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1. I did preach on this particular subject a number of years ago, but to go back and try to find it in the archives of sermons that we have from years of preaching, it's easier just for me to answer the question again. And this is dealing with how long is a day in creation? That's the first part of the question. Now, I'm going to read the question, which is actually four questions. One just runs right into the other. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer all four of those in reverse of the way they are in here, because I think it flows better that way in answering. So here is the question that was submitted. How long is a day in creation? In Genesis 1, 3 through 4, God creates light and separates light from darkness to make day and night. There was an evening and a morning, one day, but God doesn't create the sun that we use to measure morning and evening until the fourth day. Subdivision number 2 of first question. This is part 2. How long is one of God's days without the sun compared to one of our days measured by the sun? Number 3, part 3. If the Hebrew word yom, Y-O-M, can refer to days, ages, or unspecified lengths of time, is this question even answerable? And number 4, if it is answerable, does it matter? So what I want to do is I want to go back to the text. I want you to look in the text with me, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So let me go back to the question, and I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way to the top, which is part 4 of this first question. If it is answerable, does it matter? The first part of that is, yes, it is answerable. Here's the thing. I believe there's always an answer. It's just that we don't always like the answer. I believe there's an answer to every skeptic's question. It's just often they don't like the answer. Well, I don't like that. Especially when I say, here are the facts that we can see and understand, but there is this gap then where we say we have to have faith. Well, I don't like this whole faith thing. Okay, but that's the answer. It doesn't negate faith. It just means you don't accept it. Well, there's a difference in that. Okay, so if it is answerable, yes, it is. Yes, it is answerable, and it does matter. I think it does matter what a day means here. We're going to take a look at a couple of things here in just a moment. But here's the thing. If day does not mean day in this passage, does water mean water? Does man mean man? Does woman mean woman? Does beast mean beast? You see the problem that precipitates, that just snowballs? Well, this word doesn't mean what it means. It means something else. We'll then do all these other words. How do we take and say this word means something other than that, but the other words don't? Well, that's really bad Bible study, okay? We don't pick and choose, well, we'll put a definition on this word. We're going to change it here. Now, you hear me say this all the time. Context. We have to understand that context, not ours. Always, always go for the context. Understand the context. So, Yes, it does matter. Accuracy of understanding is essential to the entire Bible. If it doesn't matter here in this passage, then why would it matter with any passage in the Bible? If day does not mean day here, and I believe this passage defines what understanding we're to have, well then, how do we take day when it says on the third day, Jesus arose? Was that a literal day or just any old time, or does it mean a day there? Okay, so won't turn there, but 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word. Study to show yourself approved. Okay, I believe it's important to do that. So that's part four of that question. Yes, it is answerable, and yes, it does matter. We in our humanness oftentimes try to take the infinite, immortal, omnipresent, all-powerful, perfect God of everything and squeeze him down to fit within the 3-pound gray matter in my head. That's a pretty small God. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so part number three is, if the Hebrew word yom can refer to days, ages, or unspecified lengths of time, is this question even answerable? Now, I want to be absolutely truthful. Yes, yom can mean unspecified periods of time. It can mean an epoch of time. It can mean a period of time. It can mean an unspecified, so to speak, period of time, okay? However, context always determines the understanding of that word in that context. Go watch some of my videos on my YouTube channel where I have a longer video on context. One of the things that I illustrate on there is the different ways that we understand door. Thora in Greek, okay? In Acts, the apostles are in prison. Peter's in prison, and God sends an angel, and the door swings open. And yet in the Gospels, Jesus says, I am the door. Now, does that mean he's a literal object on hinges between two rooms? It's the same Greek word. No, context. One's literal, one's figurative. We understand these are Bible study disciplines that we understand how they apply. Same word, different meaning. I do the same thing with the word light, L-I-G-H-T, okay? So Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Okay, then he talks about putting a light under a bushel. Some of the apostles were in prison again in the book of Acts, the guard is concerned that they escaped because the prison doors are open, and he says, bring me a light. Does he mean bring another Christian because we're light of the world? No. Same word, same exact word in the Bible. Context determines what it means. Context here determines what it means. So, every time yom is used with either a number or a declaration of evening and morning, every single time, it always refers to the common understanding of a 24-hour day. Okay? So we change clocks in the fall. I know we all love that. Okay? And then we change clocks again in the spring, March, I think, this year, late March, something like that. Okay? But no matter how many times you change your clock, how many hours are in the day? 24 hours. You can change your watch all you want. It does not change that law that God has established. At what point, if we say, oh, these days before the sun and the moon, if those days were different, at what point did they become the literal, the sun and the moon? You know what our cranial matter attempts to do? Oh, God was creating, and he says, boy, it's dark. I need to make the sun so I have some light so I can see what I'm doing. That's humanism. That's human thinking. where it makes God dependent upon. Listen, I want you to look at your Bible. This is not me. This is your Bible. I want you to read. I want you to look at what the Bible says. God said, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light, period. But there was no sun. God doesn't need a sun for light. Go back to that. In the beginning, God created everything out of nothing. He didn't go to the supply store and get materials. I need some of this and I need some of that. You and I think that way, so we try to bring God down into the framework of that understanding instead of saying, I have no clue how God does it, but I'm living in it, so obviously he did it. The word says to me, let there be light, and there was light, and that is exactly what I believe. There was light. God did not need the sun to produce light for him, or the stars, or the moon. He didn't need those. Just like when he formed man out of the dust and the dirt of the ground. He didn't have to go get supplies. He just made us out of the materials that he made himself. He spoke into existence light. If God, in the vastness of nothing, whatever that is, and we can't comprehend that either, said, light exists. You know what happened? Light showed up. It was just there. It didn't have to come from a source. You and I, we're so limited in our understanding. God said, let there be light. And then he divided the light and the darkness. And he said, morning and evening. Now, here's the thing. If we say, well, then later on day 4, when he created the sun and the moon, that started the morning and the evening. Then why does it say morning and evening from the very beginning? I believe he divided time, morning and evening, just the way he wanted. And he didn't need the sun or the moon. It was morning and evening, just like he said. So many of our trying to come up with some explanation of this is trying to make room for God. We have to make room for him. Okay, now this is not part of the question per se, but it has to do with the whole creation thing because this always comes up. Oh, well, you know, it takes millions of years for that. No, it takes a lot of pressure. But here's what I want you to understand, and this is what I firmly believe this. Did God create Adam as an infant, as an embryo in the ground, and then he developed? Well, he didn't have a womb to be in, but, you know, did he create him? Or did he create him as an adult, a mature adult? Did he create the animals as infant, newborn animals? Or did he create adult, mature animals? The answer is, he created them in maturity. I believe he did the same thing with the earth. He created a mature, aged earth. We don't have to make room for God to do stuff. We just need to get out of his way. We don't need to come up with excuses so the world understands it and they make it better. It's more palatable to them. Oh, yeah, I believe in millions and millions and millions of years. Personally, I do not. But the fossil record, God made it that way. My God can do that. He created a mature man, mature creatures. He created a mature earth. It's that simple. He said so right here. Okay, but on our humanism, we don't like those explanations. I need a better. Oh, sorry. I don't like that answer. I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't mean it's not the answer. It just means you don't believe it. So, I believe, right what the word says, that it was a morning and evening from the very first day. And that pattern does not change through creation. We have the 7 days of creation. Well, 6 days of creation. And the seventh day, he rested on. So, So we use the word day in different contexts. We do it all the time, and that's fine. Okay, that's fine. We understand how context affects our understanding of day. For instance, back in the good old day, or the good old days, what's that? Well, it depends on how old you are, right? Back in the good old days, I watched a video yesterday or something guy goes around, makes videos, drives around back roads, and finds old small town stores. And once in a while, you know, a lot of them are dilapidated. And watched one yesterday, and it was like, I remember doing that. How many of you remember getting a nickel from somebody, some mad old grandparent, aunt, uncle, parents, or whatever, getting a nickel and being able to go to the little store? I remember doing that in Chest Springs. I remember doing that in Evansville. I remember doing that in Portage growing up. Man, a nickel or a dime, you go to the candy store, whoo, that was the good old days, right? See, we say that, good old days. What am I referring to, a specific day? No, I'm referring to an era. But I use the word D-A-Y. I say yesterday, well, there's that word again, okay? But it's in a different context. I mean a specific time when I say yesterday. When I say all my yesterdays, same word, different context. Context around the word tells us what the word means and how we're to understand it, okay? Then we have day. We say, another day. You know, hey, you get this from kids and grand. Hey, can we go here? Can we go there? Well, another day. We'll do that another day. You know, that's that indefinite stall. If you're a parent, that's an indefinite. We'll just push that down the road. I didn't tell you which day. I just said another day. Is this another day? Nope. This is today. Another day is down. And we do that all the time. And then we have the literal week that we follow. Monday. Tuesday. You realize those are Roman Greek god names that were translated into English and attached onto the word day. Sunday, solus day. We attach those to define a particular 24-hour period. Tomorrow's going to be Monday, not Sunday. Today is Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. So we have these specified times. We do it in our context all the time. And we look at the context, and it tells us what the word means. And we look at the context, and it tells us what the word means. The most intelligent people in the world who have gone over all this stuff and tried to understand it, and I'm speaking specifically of skeptics and non-believers who come at something like this and say, oh, it's impossible for all this to, God couldn't have done it. Boy, I don't know what God you're thinking of, but my God can. My God can say light exists, and it just shows up. I mean, like, it's there. Now, number two. Part two, God is not confined or limited to days and time like we are. God did not need to set up the sun and the moon to make the morning and the evening so he could work all day and have off the night. I don't know. That doesn't even make sense. He created before there was time. He existed before there was time. We can't grasp that. I know what it says. A day and even time is finite. God is infinite. He's outside of that. It doesn't mean he's not in it, but he's not bordered by time or creation that he has made. He is outside of that. How do we understand? I have no idea. I just know the truth of the word. And I firmly believe. If this isn't true, what do I do with the rest of it? If this is inaccurate, if I don't understand this, if this isn't speaking specific truth, then what about this? How do I believe the resurrection? Because I don't know how that happened either. How do I understand the atonement of Christ on the cross for my sins? Because I can't see either one of them. I can see the evidence of my sin nature. I can see the evidence of that, but I can't see it itself. Show me your sin nature. I can show you the evidence of it, the outworking of it. But I know the Bible talks about my sin nature, and so it's true. We do not need to make excuses or room for God to do stuff. He doesn't need us going around apologizing for him in that sense. Peter writes, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Now, here's the thing. There are people who have worked out charts of time based upon that phrase. And what I believe he's saying, that what Peter is saying is, God's not limited by time. God doesn't count one day as a thousand. He's using it in a hyperbole. It's just an expression of speech. In other words, what he's saying is God isn't structured by days and numbers. Now, is God organized and structured? Yeah, because he says on day one, and then day two, and then day three, and then day four. He told Noah to build the ark, and you go out and make it so many cubits, and you get this material, and you pitch it inside and outside, and make the window this size. God's in order and design for us. He doesn't need that. He's not limited by that. Okay? So there are things I do not understand, but it doesn't negate the truth of them. So when I was in high school, you matriculate through the classes and everything, and you go through math, and basic math, geometry, that kind of stuff, that was fine with me. And then we got into this thing, Algebra 1. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but as a young person, looking at those classes for the next year, I'm finding, is there something else I can take? I mean, well, can I take typing for Algebra 1 thing, okay? To this day, I do not get algebra. Please don't run up after church and try to show it to me, okay? You give me a headache. I do not understand using letters in the place of numbers when we have numbers and we can just look at the numbers, okay? I know that's very simplistic, but in my world it works. Somehow I got through Algebra 1. I remember nothing about it except letters on the board, square A, B, C's, Y's, X's on over here. When I went to college, because now you got to take college math. And I did. I passed. We were sitting in this college math class, and there was probably about 8 or 10 of us in the classroom. Wonderful professor, like science, math, he did all that kind of stuff. And they're putting this stuff on the board. I'm looking at this stuff, and they're giving me all the details, taking it home for homework. And I worked out the homework, and I bring it in, and I got the right answer. And he called me to his office. He says, explain this. And I'm thinking, you want me to explain to you? You're the professor. I don't know what I did. I have no clue what I did, but I got the right answer. In class the next day, he gave me a problem and had me go up to the board. I did it my way. He says, you're breaking every math rule that I know. But every time you're getting the right answer. Now, I'm saying that because I know the truth is out there. I know the importance of algebra and trig and all those kinds of those higher maths and all that kind of stuff. I know the importance of that, and in some fields it's absolutely essential. I understand all of that aspect. I do not understand it. And I know I live in a world, my world is drastically affected and impacted by those types of maths that I don't get. The truth is, I just don't understand it. So do I accept it? Sure, why not? Do not put God within the framework of 3 pounds of gray matter that is sin-fallen, corrupt, and eventually going to turn into dust again. That's a pretty small God. Question part one. The question, okay, part one is, how long is a day in creation? Okay, here's the answer. The question presupposes that God is dependent on the sun and the moon for light like we are. He's not. He is infinite, omnipotent, if he calls light into existence and then light simply existed. Period. You and I can't grasp that. We've got to hit a switch. We've got to have a battery and a light in a flashlight. We've got to strike a match. We have to have something produce it. God doesn't. He just commands it. I want to know that, God. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. The New Testament testifies as to what this means. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Now, this is an illustration of the gospel coming into the world. Using this as an illustration of the gospel, the light of the gospel coming into the world. But it's using as an illustration the creation. He commanded the light. He commanded the gospel. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is beautiful preaching. Because it uses a Bible illustration from the Old Testament. Revelation 21, 23. The city, the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light.